Living God, we pray on this day when we remember those who fought and died, those affected by the horrors of war. We pray that you would speak to us now through your word. Bring us comfort, but also challenge, that we might become more like your Son, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. For your glory and our good, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're reading from Micah chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. And verse 8 of this reading is by far the most well-known part of the book of Micah and is a very appropriate verse for Remembrance Sunday as we mark, as we have been in this service, marking some of the amazing stories of self-sacrifice, of bravery, of service to others. But as we think about this verse and this passage, I want to just set it in the context of the big story of the Bible, as we've been doing over these past few weeks, and ask, what is it that we can learn today from Micah and these words in chapter 6 for our own lives and our own growth? And in the verses leading up to Micah 6 and verse 8, we see two calls. We see God calling us to remember and God calling us to respond. And I want to spend just a few minutes before we move into communion on those two points. So firstly, if you look at verse 5, God, through his prophet Micah, is calling his people to remember. My people, remember. Remember. What are they to remember? Well, verse 4, I brought you up out of Egypt. I redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Remember what Balak, son of the king of Moab, plotted. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal. Remember, remember, remember. I nearly broke into the 5th of November there. But it's a repeated call from God to his people to remember. Now, Micah lived in the time of King Hezekiah. And this was a time when the kingdom of David and of Solomon had split into two. And the northern kingdom around Samaria had been overrun by the Assyrian Empire, and their people had been taken off into captivity. They were no more. And Jerusalem in the south were facing the same enemy. There were enemies all about them. And so Micah is writing in a time of war, a time of war and the threat of war and terror. But Micah, if we look at the whole book, actually doesn't focus so much on that outside, external problem, but on the trouble inside the people of God. His message is about how awful it is that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. There's a widening gap within their society. The culture around him is dominated by materialism and secularism. And even among God's people in a supposedly God-fearing nation, God is being ignored and sidelined and dismissed as irrelevant. And I wonder whether you see any contemporary parallels in everything I've just said there. But in the middle of all of that, God, in his prophet Micah, speaks to his people and he says this: remember. Remember. Remember how I brought you up out of Egypt. Well, over the past few weeks, back to September, we've seen the story, haven't we, of the people of God and how God brought them out of Egypt into the promised land. And we've heard this again and again, God saying, it's not what you do, it's what I do. It's not what you have done, it's what I have done. We read those words in Exodus 14 and verse 14. God saying to his people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord will fight for you. You only need be still. And the reassurance that God offers his people here again: remember how I saved you. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you leaders to lead you. Verse 5, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted. Well, this was Israel was still in the wilderness, and Moab had this huge army that was coming to crush them, and the king of Moab called in Balaam, and we can go back and read the story in Numbers chapter 22 onwards. And God delivered his people from this major threat that they were facing. And he did it partly through a donkey who talked to Balaam. How clear can it be stated by God? It's not what you do, it's what I do. I saved you, even using animals that could talk. I saved you. Remember how I saved you. Remember, I brought you to Gilgal across the River Jordan. Remember these wonderful times of salvation and rescue. Remember. Why is it that God needs to call his people to remember? Because we are prone, aren't we, to forget. We're prone to forget. Now, I've been struck as we approach communion today. The people in Jerusalem hearing these words would have had an annual Passover where they remembered the rescue from Egypt, and yet clearly they had forgotten, and the ceremony had become merely a formality, just going through the same words and the same actions, and it came to mean nothing. And God had to call them again to remember. And perhaps that's a challenge for us this morning as we share together in communion, that God be saying to us, remember. These are not empty words, not empty formalities. Remember how I have saved you. And maybe, as for the people of Israel, God might be saying to us this morning, remember that time in your life, in your church, in your family, in your individual life, when I did something in your life, when I brought you out of a situation which was looking hopeless. Remember that moment. Recall that moment today as you face, as the Israelites did, armies around you, pressures around you, God calling you to remember those points in your past where God has been at work. To remember perhaps the truth of the words that we just saw and heard read to us on the screen. The promise of that future time where all will be with God and no more tears and no more pain. God calls his people, remember. Remember, because we're prone to forget. But also at the end of verse 5, let's not miss this. God says, remember your journey that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. To remember in the Bible, it's not just have it sort of flash through your mind once so you can pass a test or an exam and then forget it again. No, to remember in the Bible is to know, for the purpose of relationship, to know God, to remember what he's done for you in the past, that you may come closer to him today. To trust and believe with all of our being in the God who has saved us and has called us to him. And that brings us to the second, the final thing before we move to communion. God calls us to remember in Micah chapter 6. He also calls us to respond. And if you look from verse 6 onwards, Micah cries out, verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come with burnt offerings and calves a year old? These are the official formal offerings that you would bring to the temple. Or maybe I should go further. I should bring thousands of rams, as King Balak tried to do, actually, back in Numbers. Shall I bring 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I go all out? Shall I bring all to God here? Shall I bring even the sacrifice of my firstborn child? Which was a practice of the countries around Israel, not in Israel itself. And you can see how Micah is building up and up and up, each one being more and more public and more showy and more costly. And the answer that he gives in verse 8 is no. This is not how you should come before God, not with these offerings. No, don't come like that. Verse 8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? Well, we know this verse, don't we? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. My people, remember and respond. And what is that response? Well, it's a response that is all of our beings, isn't it? You see how that works there? To act justly, that's our actions. To love mercy, our emotions. To walk humbly, our attitude. So in our with our hands, what we do. With our hearts, what we feel. With our heads, what we think. All of that will be transformed when we come to God. It's not about bringing thousands of rams or thousands of rivers of oil or thousands of pounds. That's not how we come to God. Not because that's too much, but because that's not enough. God in Jesus went this far, went to the cross, laid down his life for us. And as we remember that this morning, we're called to respond, not with our things, although we do bring some of our things to God. But we're not called to respond with things. We're called to respond with everything. With our actions, our thoughts, our feelings. And it's good today that we remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. We remember with gratitude the sacrifice made for us. We remember with gratitude the price that was paid for us. But our response is not going to be in grand gestures and fancy religious words. It's going to be in our lives that are transformed and changed. How moving it was to hear Moya. Thank you, Moya, for bringing the letter from your uncle. Such faith in the face of such danger. It's inspiring, isn't it? I've been struck this week by another story from the First World War, the story of Edith Cavell. Some of you will know her. She, you know her story. I doubt you know her personally. She was a nurse from Norfolk, and she served during World War I as the matron of a hospital in Brussels. Edith was a devout Christian lady, and she was arrested and tried and condemned to death for enabling 200 Allied soldiers to move into one of the neutral spaces where they could leave for safety. And on the 12th of October 1915, Edith was executed. And the night before she was executed, she took communion with a minister from one of the churches nearby who was allowed into the jail. And she said to him, "Standing as I do, in view of God and eternity, I realize that patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness towards anyone." Remarkable words. And the minister said to her, "We shall remember you as a heroine and a martyr." And Edith replied, "Don't think of me like that. Think of me as a nurse who tried to do her duty. Think of me as a nurse who tried to do her duty." What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would inspire us as we hear these stories, as we read again the words in a moment, instituting communion, that you would enable us and empower us to be those who truly respond as you call us to respond by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.